Chapter number 21, and while you're turning there, I will attempt to give just a little bit of a review of some things that we've talked about. We said on the very first morning, Sunday morning, heaven was a real place. Heaven was a restricted place. It's restricted to only those that have been saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then we said on that night, Sunday night, about heaven being an inhabited place. And we read and studied out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, and several different categories of individuals are mentioned there. The angels, you are coming to an innumerable company of angels, it says. And we talked about the angels, cherubims and seraphims, and then angels that look like people and have a human form. We talked about the physical bodies that are in heaven. Enoch and Elijah are there. We talked about the Old Testament saints, Abraham and David. And he said about his baby, I cannot bring him back, but I can go to him. And so we mentioned several of them, the New Testament saints. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then we see that Stephen looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he was martyred there. We talked about that. And we talked about the souls in Revelation chapter number 6. And that they were conscious of what was going on. And they knew what had happened to them. And they knew that it had been a long time. And they were clothed with white robes, and they were desirous of God judging those that had killed them, martyred them. And so we talked about that there has to be consciousness in heaven, and people look like people. They have bodies. They are not disembodied spirits floating around. We talked about the next night that heaven was a informed place, and that in heaven they know a lot of what is going on. Maybe not on earth, every little detail of our lives. They probably don't know, you know, people that we know and love don't know we're having Bible school this week. I don't know. Maybe they do. But there are some things that they know in heaven. They know when somebody gets saved, because the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Luke chapter number 15. And Moses and Elisha knew about the death of Christ. They appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they talked about things concerning his decease, and they knew more than the disciples did. So they were very informed about what was going on. And so we talked about that. We talked about the saints in Revelation chapter number 6, again, wondering how long it was going to be. And then we talked last night about heaven is an intermediate place. It's a temporary place. And we gave the example, if the rapture happened this year, and we just looked at the book of Revelation, there's 7 years of tribulation. If the rapture happened and we went to heaven, then in Revelation chapter number 19, we're coming back. We would actually be in heaven a very, very short period of time. Even if it's another 100 years, which I don't believe that it would be or will be, but we'll still be there shorter than John and Paul and Peter and James and all of those. They've been in heaven 2,000 years, or almost 2,000 years. And so it's a temporary place. We talked about heaven past. That's where in the beginning God created heaven and the angels were there with him. We talked about heaven present, as we know and think about it now, when our loved ones go to heaven. And then we ended up last night talking about heaven future. And that's where we're going to pick up tonight. And then we're going to go back and think about some things. But future heaven, what is future heaven going to be like? We talked last night about heaven present. And then we're coming back in Revelation chapter number 19. The saints are coming back with Christ. And there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign. And there's six times there in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, Revelation chapter number 21, verses 1 and 2, here is future heaven. This is what we all have to look forward to. And this future heaven is going to last for all of eternity. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." That is how eternal heaven is going to be, the new heaven and the new earth. That is how God intended for it to be when he created this earth. He intended for it to be like verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's how God intended for it to be at the very beginning. But we all know Adam and Eve disobeyed. That messed up everything. Sin messed up everything. Messed up that fellowship. See, God intended in the beginning to dwell with man. He regularly visited, fellowshipped, was there with Adam and Eve in the garden. Sin messed everything up. But God's original plan was to dwell with man upon the earth. Sin messed it up. Sin did not cancel it, but it postponed it a long time. Because we don't get back to that until the new heaven and the new earth, where God dwells upon earth with man. And that's what it said. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And so sin postponed it. Sin ruined it. Adam lost everything, but I know you know tonight who redeemed it all. Jesus redeemed it. Jesus bought it back when he died upon the cross. Acts chapter number 3. Let's turn over there and we'll read a few verses. We're going to make a comparison tonight if we want to know what the future heaven, new heaven and new earth. I don't think we have to look at it with a big question mark, but I think really we can learn a whole lot about it by looking at the original idea that God had in mind, the earth and the heaven that we read about in the book of Genesis. But don't want to get ahead of myself. But Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, down through verse number 21, Peter's second sermon, he's preaching. Listen to some things he says. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So Jesus came, he died upon the cross. Peter's preaching about all these things, and he said, "Whom the heaven must receive." And so Jesus went back, Acts chapter number 1. Where is he at now? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's there until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. God's intention was to restore all things. He's not going to make all new things. He's going to restore all things that he's already made. He redeemed us, makes a new creature out of us. He's going to redeem creation. It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth, they are going to burn up. So when we talk about heaven, it's a whole lot more than just where we go when we die. If we go there when we die, or when we go there when we die, we may be there a short time. We're going to be in the new heaven and the new earth for all of eternity. That's what we really ought to be looking forward to, is this new heaven and this new earth. I want to think just a little bit tonight about the location of heaven. Where is heaven at? Heaven's location. And I'm going to start by telling you what I used to think about it, and you probably might think the same thing. But I don't think that way after studying what the Bible says about it. And I used to think and have in my mind that heaven, present heaven I'm talking about, was beyond the universe. Nobody knows how big the universe is, but it's, Hubble telescope, all that. All they know is that it's vast. And I've previously thought in my mind, well, heaven has to be beyond that. Heaven has to be beyond the stars, beyond the skies, beyond the universe, beyond the Milky Way, and all of those things. The definition of heaven is God's dwelling place, like a house, like a home. It's where God lives. Many verses in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse number 27. Then the priests, the Levites, man, I'm having trouble seeing my own writing. The priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Now, if you're just a casual reader of the Bible, you've probably come across heaven is up. Heaven is up. As opposed to hell. Where's hell? Down. So we understand the up and the down. Wherever heaven is, present heaven, wherever it is, it's up. We find that all throughout the Bible, and we'll look at some examples of that. But by way of contrast, hell is down. And Isaiah chapter 14, we've read this a few times this week and pointed out some different things. But we notice in there, there's the up and the down reference. And I'm going to turn over there and read just a few verses. Isaiah chapter number 14. And then we're going to flip through some pages here and establish for sure that hell is down. Because a lot of times we might say, well, I think it is, but where is it in the Bible? So we're going to put our finger on some verses that establishes heaven is up, hell is down. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? So he fell from heaven. He fell, he come down. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Ascending is going up. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He's talking about up. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. A mount's a mountain. It's up in the sides of the north. There's a direction of north. Now, I want to stop right there and say, up, down, we read that in the Bible. North, south, east, west is specific to this earth. You get out on Mars, there's no north, south, east, west, because north, south, east, west is based off of Earth's magnetic pole. If we're just talking about up, somebody in Australia, when they look up, they're looking in the total opposite direction than we are, because if the earth is round, and it is, and let's just say we're on the top and they're on the bottom, we look up, we're looking that way, they look up, they're looking that way. So heaven is not just up, but in relation to the earth, it's north. North of the earth, the heavens. He said, because north, south, east, west is specific to the earth, not outer space. That's what I'm saying. I will ascend the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. He said, I'll ascend above the clouds. And we know the clouds are just just above us. But hell is up, or heaven is up, hell is down. Look at Job chapter 11, verse number 8. This is one of the oldest, and I pointed this out the other night, the oldest book in the Bible. And even they knew where hell was. Job chapter 11, and that's before the book of Psalms, in verse number 8. I'll read verse 7 just for context. Canst thou, by searching, find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It, he's talking about searching out God. It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? Heaven is up. Hell is down. Hell is deep. Look at Psalms chapter 55 and verse number 15. And I'm finding these the same as you. I didn't mark all these places. Psalms chapter 55, verse number 15. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Let them go down quick into hell. Look at Psalms 86, verse number 13. Psalms 86 and verse number 13. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Hell is down. Hell is low. All through the Bible. And I've just got a few of these I want to point out. Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 27. There's so many references to hell being down, I just quit after a while because we could spend the whole time. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. And Proverbs 15 and 24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. In Isaiah chapter 5. So Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah chapter 5. Where did we just turn for them? Proverbs chapter 9? 15. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And so, in the book of Ezekiel has a lot. If you just study the word hell in the book of Amos. And there's verses I come across I've never really paid attention to. But definitely, as we study the Bible, if you study the subject of hell, hell is down. Heaven is up. We always find heaven is up. When Stephen was being stoned, he looked up. When Jesus went away in Acts chapter number 1, he went up. He ascended up into the heavens. So just to establish that tonight, heaven is up, hell is down. We would all probably agree, as we've studied the Bible, hell's in the earth. Hell has to be in the earth. Hell is not far away. I mean, it's a big earth, and nobody's been there, but hell is not that far away. Why would heaven be beyond the stars? But I think sometimes that we get our theology, a lot of it, from the songs that we sing. And let me give you some examples. I don't know who sang this. It's an old, I guess it would be a rock or a folk song, but it used to be real popular. And it said in that song, all I can remember is the phrase, God is watching us from a distance. I can't remember who sang it, but I can just remember that phrase. Just little things like that puts stuff in our mind. In the Red Book, number 244, the name of that song is Just Over the Stars. Just Over the Stars. A lot of songs talk about being beyond the stars or over the stars. Page 132, I'll meet you by the river to a city far beyond the stars. And number 401, The Unclouded Day. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Number 280 is sweeping through the gates to a home beyond the sky. And there's a lot of songs that put in our heart and put in our mind, and that's a good thought. You know, we're going to fly away. We are going to heaven. But it puts the thought in our mind that heaven is way, 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 so far away beyond the stars from what we know about the physical universe. God would be millions and millions and billions and even numbers we can't think of away if heaven was that far away. And we know God's in heaven and His throne is in heaven. So where is heaven as we think about that? I believe as we study the Bible doesn't teach that heaven, present heaven, is that far away. But heaven actually is close. And I don't pretend to understand all of that, but I believe it's much nearer than we imagine. Just like we pointed out the other night when Stephen looked up, when he was being martyred, he was being put to death. And he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And we asked the question, how far away would somebody be for you to recognize? I don't think heaven is that far away. Of course, if we, any of us, seen Jesus, you'd know who it was. It's like somebody asked Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, the fourth is like the Son of Man. That was Jesus in there with him. Somebody said, how did he know who it was? If you seen Jesus, you'd know who it was. He knew that's who it was, even though he didn't know who he was. But Stephen saw. He saw right into heaven. And that was before he died. I believe that was with his physical eyes, and he testified to those people. And so if we, taking what we read at the beginning in Revelation, that in the new heaven and the new earth, God's going to dwell with us, and we are going to dwell with Him. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And if we get over there studying that, we'll see they are joined together. They are not millions of miles apart. They are together like the sea and the land is together. It's two different atmospheres, but they're together. The new heaven and the new earth are going to be together. And that's how I believe God created this earth and heaven. And we're going to look at some interesting verses. Look in Genesis chapter number 2. So we're going to try to learn some things about the new heaven and the new earth by looking back at the old heaven and the old earth, the one we know now. The way God created it and the way He intended for it to be in the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 4. Now, I pointed out, I think it was last night, Genesis 1 and 1 said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But here talks about the generation of the heavens. Chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And that is where, just for our information, it didn't rain. It never rained until the flood. Up to that point, there was a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. God put a sprinkler system in, and it didn't rain. It didn't rain till Noah. That's why that was a big deal. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. First God made Adam a body, then God put life into him. We are people. God made a body for us, and we're going to have a body for all of eternity. First he made the body, then he put the breath of life into him. Man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we talked about that the other night. There's two important trees, tree of life. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, and that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is that that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And so God made Adam, God made Eve. He put them into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told them not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look over in chapter 3. We know what happened. They disobeyed. Verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. And what they partook of was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And so in the beginning, God made man. Chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heaven and earth when they were created. In the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and he made everything, and it was good, and it was perfect. And Adam and Eve were innocent. They had never sinned. Everything was perfect in Eden, and that is where Adam and Eve lived, was in the Garden of Eden, and that is where God came and dwelled with them and fellowshipped with them, was in the Garden of Eden. I said the other night, Eden had the back door to heaven, but, you know, I just said that in jest. That's probably the front door. That's where the Lord came and met with them, and that's where they lived. That is how God intended for it to be. And so we find them there. Sin came, ruined it all. Look at chapter 3, verse 22, looking on down. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. And that's what I was talking about the other night, where I said that was a mercy of God that put them out of the garden. Because if they would have partaken of the tree of life, they would have lived forever, but they had already sinned and started dying. So they really wouldn't have lived forever. They'd have died forever. They'd have got sick. They'd have deteriorated. But they'd have never been able to die. And so it was the mercy of God that put them out of the garden to keep them from doing that. And so now we live in a world of sin and disease and death and rebellion and hatred and all of these things. But sin did not cause God to move out of his universe. God didn't flee the universe. God didn't move heaven beyond the stars. And as we study the Bible, what we find, God has always been near his people. But we also know that God is in heaven. But he's also always been near. And that's what I'm saying. Heaven has to be near. Angels appear all throughout. And I'm not saying, even if heaven was beyond the stars, that it would be a problem for God or for the angels, because they don't travel in time and space like we do. But the fact in the Bible is that God has always been near. And he has appeared to man several different times. Let's look over in Exodus chapter number 19. And we'll just point out a few things to show how God has always been near. Is God in heaven? Yes. Is God near us? Yes. And I believe that means that heaven is near us. Nearer than we think. Exodus chapter number 19. So I'm not going to take time to go through all this, but if you study the book of Hebrews, what you find is that when God instructed the children of Israel to make a tabernacle, that they were making a pattern of a real tabernacle in heaven. That was a picture, the real one was in heaven. And when Jesus, when he died for our sins and he paid for our sins with his blood, he took that blood not to the temple in Jerusalem, but to the temple in heaven. And the book of Hebrews makes that very, very plain, that there was an earthly tabernacle, but there's a heavenly tabernacle. And so in Exodus chapter number 19, we find that God gives them instructions for this earthly tabernacle. So this earthly tabernacle is a picture of the heavenly. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 10 and verse number 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And so God told Moses, tell the people to clean up. I'm coming to visit. Verse number 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. I believe not only that God came down, the Lord came down and met with him, but as we see all the things that are going on there that are not normally there, I believe heaven. I believe that's where heaven. I don't believe heaven is beyond the stars. I just think heaven is beyond our sight and beyond our reach and beyond our touch. And we are not like angels. We are not able to go back and forth and back and forth. But we can go there, but we have to die to go there. You say, well, how would you get there?
Yeah. Think about as a lake really brings it on, like the volcanoes saying Hawaii right now.
Right. Yeah.
Well, is that fire originate from heaven? If it is, look how close it is.
Yeah.
And if it is, then how much, then that means that heaven is just as close
Yeah.
It's something to visually bring it home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it can show you how far yet you've got to see. The water's right there. All that fire's right there. And here we are in the middle. And that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just sort of brings it home if you look at, you know, what the Bible says and what you see.
Yeah. I think what it helps me to study this and begin to think about heaven as being closer, it's comforting. As opposed to thinking, even though we know God is near and God is not limited by time, space, and travel and all of those things, but it's comforting to me to know that everything is much closer. Sin didn't run God out of the universe. God always stayed very near. He's always been near his people. And yeah, I do believe that is... If you go to Yellowstone, some of you have been, the ground is bubbling. I mean, under the earth is fire. And so we know that hell's a place of fire as well.
You know, if people really think about that, what you talk about that volcano over there, it's so hot, it's a melting rock. And give people an idea of what hell, hot hell is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really a lake of fire. Yeah. 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 We read that verse. Hell hath enlarged herself.
Well, supposedly the center core of the earth is red hot.
Yeah. So. Look in Exodus 24 and verse number 9. This is something I come across, and I've never really paid much attention to this passage of Scripture, but it's interesting. It's talking about Moses and the elders. Exodus chapter 24, verse number 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. They got right up to, somebody said one time, I've never been to heaven, but God's let me peek over the edge, talking about having a real good service and the Lord really moving. I believe they got right on the... Because that scene that's described in verse number 10 is very similar to what you find over in the book of Daniel, over in the book of Revelation. They saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. They got right up. Were they in heaven? Were they right on the border? But they saw God and they had a meal there. That's interesting to me. And I don't think I've ever really noticed that. But to me, that's really interesting. And upon the nobles, verse 11, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel. Let's see, I read that verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And those men went up there, met with God, saw him in his glory evidently there. And they ate in his presence, ate with him. That's interesting to me. What am I saying? God was not a long, long ways away. God was very, very near unto them. And they built a tabernacle, and that tabernacle was a picture of the true tabernacle in heaven. Exodus 25, verse 21 and 22. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from the between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I shall give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. And God said, you build the ark, you build the tabernacle, you build the mercy seat. And God said, there's where I'll meet with you. There's where I'll commune with you. But we know God is in heaven. Was heaven that close to the tabernacle? God was that close to them. And I'm just going through all this to say, I don't believe heaven is beyond the stars. I believe it's very, very near. And that lasted until that lasted till they built the tabernacle, all the way up until the times of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the future, God intends to carry on with His original plan. His plan all along was to dwell with man. And I think I read that Sunday morning, I will come to them, I will dwell with them. Jesus was saying to the disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, and along through there. And so, if we go all the way back to Revelation, so I think we can learn some things about the new heaven and the new earth by seeing how God intended for this heaven and this earth to be. But when we get to future heaven, He's going to dwell with His people. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. John saw all these things in his eyesight. This new heaven, this new earth is not going to be separated. It's going to be together. And we say, well, I don't understand how that can be. Well, of course we can't, because we're still in these finite bodies that are going to die. But I was thinking about it today. There's water, land, and sea. They're all different. And I'm a land creature. I can't dwell in the sea. I'm a land creature. I can't dwell in the sky. But one of these days, we're going to get a new body, and we're going to be able to go where we've never been able to go and do what we've never been able to do before. But God's intention, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. That's how the new heaven and the new earth is going to be. That's how God intended it to be in the very beginning. And it's already 8:15. This has gone by quick. Let's read one more verse over in Colossians chapter 3. So, thinking about all this in our minds, what we've been studying about heaven, which maybe we've not thought a whole lot about, but this brings new light to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. This brings new light to this verse, and we've read this verse many, many times. But Paul said, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. God intends us to set our affection, our mind's attention, our heart on things above, not on things on the earth. It's much easier to set our affections on things above if we actually know something about it. If we don't know much about heaven, it's hard to get excited about it. But if we study the Bible and see how much better and how real and how wonderful heaven's going to be, it's a whole lot easier to say, like Paul said, to depart and to be with Christ is far better. Well, I think he's that fellow in the Bible that had the vision that he couldn't talk about. He was caught up to the third heaven, and God wouldn't let him tell about all the things that he saw there. But he's the same one that said, set your affection on things above. And so that we might be a people that desires heaven and wants to see other people go there. It's going to be a whole lot better than this earth. Has anybody got anything they're going to... Yeah.